Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
You're listening to Blue Jays Nation Radio
with Cam Lewis and Tyler Yaremchuk,
a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
Welcome into episode 207 of Blue Jays Nation Radio. Coombsy, Yaremchuk here to break down another series win for the Toronto Blue Jays. It's been a nice little run here for the Bluebirds, Coombsy. They've been winning series left, right, and center. And I mean, it would be nice if they could finish off a sweep. I think that would definitely add to the vibes of the whole thing. But they're coming in here off four consecutive series wins. That's really impressive.
Yeah, that's right. Since coming back from that season opening road trip, it was the home opening series win against Seattle, take 2 out of 3 there. 2 out of 3 against Colorado, they're bad. So you're kind of like, whatever. But then 2 out of 3 against the Yankees and another 2 out of 3 on the road against the San Diego Padres. A pretty solid team, maybe not a guaranteed playoff team, but a team that's in the mix, like a quality opponent nonetheless. And I mean, 2 out of 3 is always good, and it's pretty hard to complain about that. But I think this is the third of four series of ones we just talked about. They've had a lot of chances to complete a sweep and haven't been able to do it. It happened against Seattle, of course. They had that weird one where they allowed like 5 runs in the 10th inning. New York, the bullpen implodes in the 9th inning. That was a frustrating one. And then this one in San Diego here, it looked like another prime opportunity for the Jays to sweep that they couldn't quite pull off. But it's not easy to sweep another team, especially in their own stadium. The Padres, of course, came out hard on Sunday and really wanted to avoid being swept by the Blue Jays. So 2 out of 3 ain't bad. If you had said at the beginning of that series they're going to win 2 out of 3 no matter what the Sunday one looks like, I think we'd be happy.
Yeah, and the other side of it too is, like you mentioned, the Mariners were obviously a part of this, the Yankees and Padres. With the exception of the Rockies, they've been winning 2 of 3 against good or high end, in the case of the Yankees, ball teams. It's not like they just went up against a handful of bottom feeders and are struggling to put these teams away. Again, would have loved to see a sweep against the Rockies. I fully understand that, but these have been decent ball clubs you're winning series against. So that is always a nice sight and good to see after, again, a slightly below average start that we kind of excused because of how difficult the schedule was. After that, they've seemed to find another sort of level here against these teams. So let's dig into this one. The Jays take 2 of 3 from the San Diego Padres. That is a big positive. So giddy up, and let's get into the 3 up, 3 down. And let's start with the guy who made the highlight reel on a couple of occasions. I want to start with Dalton Varsho, Coombsy, because again, to beat this drum, he is a guy who, if he can get rolling and sort of recognize the potential that the Jays saw in him when they acquired him from Arizona, he is a massively important piece to this lineup. And after that series against San Diego, where his bat stayed red hot, we're also now starting to hear the gold glove conversation because, again, you look at all the metrics and then you see his ability to make game-changing plays in the outfield. Both the old-school traditional baseball minds and the new-age analytics minds are really starting to recognize how valuable he is in the outfield.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there was... With Varsho, there was never really a concern that the glove wasn't going to work. I think last year, the fact that he didn't win the gold glove largely came down to the fact that he splits time between left and center field. So it's like, well, you know, there's probably someone who spent more time in center field that's going to get the gold glove. And the same thing, unfortunately, with left. So you wonder maybe if the utility position would be ideal for him, because, of course, with the Blue Jays and their situation, Varsho could be an everyday center fielder here, and he'd probably be the best center fielder, one of the best center fielders in baseball. But they also have Kevin Kiermaier right there, and he's, of course, also one of the best center fielders in baseball. So kind of an interesting spot for Varsho, though it does really feel like there you can probably count on one hand the amount of players who are as good or better in the outfield than he is. And now that the bat's coming around, you can kind of see this full, complete player. Like you said, this is the guy the Jays went out and we don't have to say this again. Like, we don't have to make it, we don't have to bring it up again, but we all know the Jays traded a lot to get Varsho. The Diamondbacks were able to receive a lot for this player because he's a good player. And his first season in Toronto, yes, the defense was there, but the bat really wasn't. The bat kind of stayed behind in Arizona, even though he did hit 20 home runs. It just wasn't the same hitting for contact. There wasn't the same consistency. But you look at how he's done this year since the season opening road trip. And I mean, he came back at the start of that game against Seattle, that home opening game. His OPS in the season was 402. And now with a nice little hot streak over the three series at home and this one in San Diego, it's all the way up to 836. He went 4-4-11 with two doubles and a home run in this series against the Padres. That home run was a game changer on Saturday. It was an important one. He looks like he's in the zone. This is definitely the best version of Dalton Varsho that we've seen on the Blue Jays so far during his career since that trade. And I think a lot of it comes down to comfort. Like, this is a guy who was, he was drafted by the Arizona Diamondbacks. He came up through the system playing one position as a catcher, moved to a different position, then he moves to a new organization. I don't think it's necessarily easy to go and do all of that. And the pressure is high because of the trade. Look at the guys they gave up. Everyone knows that the pressure is going to be high on Varsho. So now that he's kind of locked himself into a role, he's a familiar player on this team, it kind of makes sense that he's going to find his way at the plate this season. The skill is there. Like, you can see when he does get hot. It happened a few times last year. Like, the talent is definitely there.
Over his last 15 games, Dalton Varsho has an OPS north of 1,000. He's hit 5 home runs in 48 plate appearances as well. If this can be a left-handed bat in the middle of your lineup who can hit you one home run every 10 ABs, and I'm not saying his OPS is going to be north of 1,000 for the rest of the season, but like you said, if it can be in the mid-800s to 900s here, and he's bringing some pop and some power, he's fast on the base paths, and obviously the glove, like you said, has never really been, well, never been close to a concern. It's always been a strength. We're starting to see him round into a really complete ball player, and he's an important piece for the Blue Jays. Great to see Dalton Varsho heat up. Another guy who's starting to look like more and more of potentially an important piece is Yariel Rodriguez, Coombsy. I think I'm starting to love this guy. Like, again, we knew basically nothing about him when he came over because he hadn't really pitched for the last calendar year, didn't have major league experience. He was just some dude the Jays decided to give $40 million to. And now that we've seen him through two major league appearances, it's kind of like, oh, I think I understand why the Jays were okay giving this guy $40 million or close to $40 million in guaranteed cash. He's got the stuff. He's got this electric persona about him. It seems like he's really well liked by his teammates as well. And he went out there against the Padres and looked excellent, striking out 7-4.
Yeah, he was sort of the mystery guy this offseason. Like, the Jays, you know, of course, we've said this before, but we came into the offseason with the high expectations. It was Ohtani. And then if Ohtani doesn't happen, it'll be another big name. Maybe you trade for Soto. Maybe it's Cody Bellinger, who's also going to be a big pitcher. It's going to be huge and exciting. And then the biggest contract the Jays wind up handing out is someone who didn't pitch in 2023 because of contract issue. And the only pitching he did do was in the World Baseball Classic for Cuba. And he's kind of like this hybrid pitcher, starts, relieves. In his last season in Japan, 2022, he was a late inning reliever. So it was kind of difficult to say specifically what Yariel Rodriguez was going to do with the Blue Jays this year, because, of course, also coming into the season, everything that we heard was the fifth starter spot is Alek Manoah's to lose. And I mean, unfortunately for him, I guess the way things have gone is he kind of did lose that spot. There was the injury in spring training and a handful of guys pitched pretty well. Of course, we'll remember Yariel Rodriguez had all those problems getting going in spring training. He had an immigration issue with his visa right off the hop. And then there was some other injury he was dealing with that slowed down his ramp up. So, I mean, the fact that it's only a few weeks into April after not really having a normal spring training, pitching for a new organization, he's never pitched in the big leagues before. He only had to go down to Buffalo and make a couple of starts, and he's come up for the Blue Jays. And it's been a really clutch performance, honestly, because, of course, as I said, Manoah injured. He's pitching in Buffalo right now. We'll see what happens. Bowden Francis got that spot after a very good spring training, but the more innings it seems that he pitches, maybe the worse the results are. It might just be a one time through the order kind of pitcher. But with Rodriguez, four innings, only one earned run, strikes out seven guys. That's what's so exciting about this, that electric stuff, that slider, the fastball that moves so much, multiple different fastballs that he's throwing. And then Francis comes out right after, and it's two innings, zero earned run. So between the two of them, six innings, only one earned run. That's another quality start between two pitchers. And it's not necessarily easy to go out and just find a 4-5 starter who can consistently clear 5-6 innings. It's not an easy thing to find. Like that kind of thing is expensive and difficult to find in baseball for a reason. So that the Blue Jays have found this piggyback solution that's working for them really well right now in the wake of this injury to Alek Manoah is really a huge win. This is a signing where you thought, I really don't know what to expect out of this guy this season, but two starts into his big league career and you can already see Yariel Rodriguez becoming a fan favorite in Toronto.
Fascinating, because if this trend continues, you mentioned Alek Manoah. What are you just keeping him in AAA? I wonder, not to, you know, put the cart before the horse, to use an old school analogy, but like if Rodriguez does this for two or three more starts and Manoah is sitting there going, I'm healthy, I wonder if this doesn't put a little bit more pressure on the trade front, doesn't it? Or if Manoah behind the scenes doesn't go, hey, like the relationship was fractured, we know that, and if you guys aren't going to give me a chance now that I'm healthy, get me the hell out of here. Like if Rodriguez keeps going, they don't have, as weird and as in a way heartbreaking as it is to say this, because I still want to believe in Alek Manoah, they don't have a use for him if Rodriguez is going to keep this up.
Yeah, I really don't see a way that the Jays could throw Alek Manoah into the bullpen and that works, and that's a good thing. Yeah, it's an interesting one, because as of right now, of course, he's on the injured list and was to start the season, and you can only be on the injured list for so long. His rehab assignment in AAA, they're going to at some point have to choose, okay, we're either adding this guy back onto the active roster or we're optioning him to AAA to continue pitching with the Bisons. And I mean, if Yariel Rodriguez is pitching like this, if everyone in the Blue Jays rotation is pitching the way they have been, I mean, the one rough spot, I guess, in their main five guys now, with the way Rodriguez and Francis are going as a piggyback, you know, Berríos, Kikuchi, Bassett, they've all been what you'd expect them to be, if not better. The one spot is Kevin Gausman hasn't been the pitcher we expected him to be. So it almost sort of looks like if there's a path back to the big leagues for Alek Manoah, if there is, if he pitches well in Buffalo and is good, maybe it's Gausman going on the injured list, because I don't really see the Jays taking Rodriguez out of this spot as the fifth starter, who, even if he only goes three or four, sure, I don't really see them taking him out of that spot and making him like a swing guy Ross Stripling just so that Alek Manoah can be the five, just because he wants to be getting big league service time. I don't know if the Jays are going to make that move. You have to have your best pitchers in the roster, the guys who are most likely to pick up outs. That's who you need on your roster.
And again, Rodriguez isn't some 38-year-old veteran that they gave a one-year contract to and he's just here filling the minutes, because then you could maybe say, okay, as good of a story as he is, prioritize Manoah. He's the guy who you have a long-term future with. You've committed to Rodriguez for three more seasons after this one. Like, you're more committed to him almost at this point than you are to a Manoah in terms of having him pan out. So it is interesting to see how that's playing out. You mentioned Bowden Francis, and when we were having that Varsho conversation, you talked about comfort, right? He's getting comfortable as a Blue Jay. Bowden Francis just looks more comfortable in that kind of swing position. Like you talked about, maybe he's more of just a once through the rotation guy, but when he was getting those starts earlier in the season, he was getting knocked around his first time through the batting order, right? And now you look, he comes in the fifth inning, looks really calm and poised, similar to what he was last year when he put up really solid numbers for the Blue Jays coming out of the bullpen. I feel like, you know, he's 28 years old. He's not a veteran or anything like that, but this might just be what he is. Maybe you don't try to force him into being a starter again, and you just recognize what his strength is and where he can bring you value.
Yeah, I think that might be the thing that makes the most sense. Like, it would be awesome if Bowden Francis could be a 5-6 inning number five pitcher in the big leagues, but it's also completely fine if he's a multi-inning reliever who can, you know, get through the order, like, pitch more than one inning, right? Kind of think about the role that Trevor Richards has had on the team for a few years now, where he comes in and it's not surprising if he pitches a couple innings. The thing with Francis is I think that if he starts a game and he knows that he's going to have to try and get through the lineup a couple of times or try and get five, six innings deep, I think the difficulty is that the velocity comes down a little bit, so you can focus more on the longer term of the start. You have the stamina, you can get a little bit deeper. And even if it is just your first time through the other team's lineup, that you're kind of worrying about saving yourself for later in the start, I think, is what the challenge is, because the other team is going to jump on you, try and, you know, plow you out of the game as quickly as they possibly can, because they know that you're having to kind of alter your stuff to take on a larger role. And I think now that there is Rodriguez in the mix and that the two of them can go back to back, we're kind of seeing both pitchers sort of thrive in a role that they can do well in. Like Francis being the spot starter at the beginning of the season when they need, sure, absolutely, that's great. But when you have everyone going and you have everyone kind of in the spot that they're doing well in, I think that's his more ideal spot. Be the, you know, mid-inning, not a mop-up guy per se. Like, I'm not saying this is Sammy Cavillo coming in here and just mopping up messes. Bowden Francis is better than that. But this is the guy who can bridge the gap from in the fifth and the sixth innings when your starting pitcher can't always be going seven innings every single start. So I think they found a nice spot for him, and this is where he fits nicely.
You mentioned Jose Berríos a little bit earlier on. It was another gem from Berríos. I think we might need to hit up the people over at nationgear.ca, get like a year of Berríos shirt cooked up, because it was just another dominant appearance from the Jays, call it what it is, from the Blue Jays ace. He goes six innings against the Padres, does not allow an earned run. He only gives up five hits, walks two, he strikes out six as well. He's just been dominant. And when I sit here and look at his game logs, like, it's now been three straight starts where he hasn't allowed an earned run. And really the only one out of these five appearances where he didn't have his, call it, A-plus stuff was probably the one against Houston, even though he only gave up the one earned run. But watching that game, he didn't have his putaway pitches, his slurve or slider, whatever they technically classify it as. He wasn't hitting the strike zone with that. He walked three batters, but he didn't have his A-plus stuff, and he found a way to grind through still six full innings of ball against a really good Houston team. I sit there and I look at a guy who, if you can have a night like that when you had your, call it, C-plus stuff, and then you also sit there and through five starts and four of them, you've had your A stuff. Like, this is the makings of a Cy Young season. He's looking like a legitimate high-end ace for the Blue Jays, which is crazy, because last year at this time, we were sitting here crossing our fingers and toes being like, God, I hope Jose Berríos can just be an everyday MLB pitcher for this team again.
Yeah, this is, now that we're talking about this, it's funny that we're, and not every pitcher is the same, so we can't just draw the comparisons, but it's like, he was only 2 years ago, Jose Berríos, man. He was every time pretty much he came out. There was a handful of starts in there that were mixed in where it was like, oh yeah, this guy's on it and he's killing it and he's just too good to be hit. But most of those starts that season, he was getting lit up, and it was a rough year. And last year, you're right, this time we were talking about, oh man, if Jose Berríos, forget the contract, forget everything, forget the trade. Let's just, if he can just be a, you know, innings munching number four starter kind of thing, then we're golden. But, you know, we just got through talking about Alek Manoah and how, is this ever going to work out again? But pitching's weird. Pitching's a difficult thing to predict. Even if a guy has a down season and it seems like he's never going to come back, hey, maybe he does. Maybe he starts throwing a different pitch, starts using a different grip, talks to a different coach. Who knows? But Jose Berríos, this is the best that I've seen him pitch as a Blue Jay, and it's probably the best that he's pitched in his career. Like, I can't speak to his time in Minnesota because I didn't pay much attention to the Twins, but it's now a 0.85 ERA on the season across five starts. That Houston one that you mentioned, though the Blue Jays did win that game 2-1. It was the one, I think, the Davis Schneider home run off of Josh Hader late in the game that put them ahead. That was that one. But they've won all five of the starts that he started, and he's 4-0 already a few weeks into April. He's going to get another start here in April and has a chance to come out of the first month with a 5-0 record and an ERA below one. And you talked about this last time. It's, if someone's going to win the Cy Young, then you kind of have to have a narrative early on. And the narrative for the Blue Jays would be, all right, Kevin Gausman had an issue in spring training, didn't really have a spring training, so he's kind of ramping up in April and hasn't been the Blue Jays ace just yet. And with him out, or not out, but not at his best, with him not at his best, Jose Berríos has been this. And I mean, I think it was last week. It was maybe on the last pod we were talking about this. MLB put out like their top starters in baseball, starting pitchers so far in the season. And Jose Berríos wasn't one of the top names on the list for whatever reason. So, yeah, hopefully he starts to get some more respect for this fantastic start, because this is looking like a Cy Young season. This is the beginning of a Cy Young season. This is the kind of April that a pitcher has when they wind up winning this award. And if he keeps doing this, the narrative will continue, because the Blue Jays always have somebody in the mix for the Cy Young. Like the past 4 years, Hyunjin Ryu, there was Robbie Ray won his, Alec Manoah, and then Kevin Gausman. I think this year might be the year of Berríos.
Very easily could be. All right, let's move along to the downs here. We talked off the top about the fact that the Jays weren't able to finish off the sweep. And yes, it's very difficult to sweep teams in Major League Baseball, no matter who you're going up against. But I think the really disappointing part when you look back at these last couple of series is just that the Jays had great chances to win in all three of those games, right? Against Seattle, they had the bases loaded late in that ball game, could have walked off the Mariners. In New York, they had the lead late in that ball game. And then you look at again against San Diego, like they were right there in that ball game until the end. They give up two in the sixth and two in the eighth and lose the game 6-3. And a big reason why they weren't able to hold on to things is just, I don't know if it's running out of gas is the right way to describe it, but their bullpen kind of lost control a little bit. Bassett walked three, and then Richards and Pearson came in and walked a combined six batters as well. So nine walks in the game, that's just not a recipe for success.
No, definitely not what you love to see. And it's difficult to say much about the bullpen because, you know, they start the season with Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson. There's your ninth and eighth inning guys on the injured list to kick things off. And you know, they had the hard road trip. They got through the first bit of the season with, you know, you use Jimmy Garcia as your closer. Chad Green was their eighth inning guy. Now he's injured. He's on the injured list from probably having to pitch a little bit more than you would have liked. It was for a few weeks, everybody's kind of one or two spots above where they're meant to be. And then you look at it in this game, you finally get to the end of the series, and it's like, okay, here's who you have now in your leverage spots is Trevor Richards and Nate Pearson. Pearson is the one who went down to Buffalo and then comes back and joins the Blue Jays when Chad Green goes on the injured list. So not necessarily the ideal situation. And this is why it's so difficult to sweep a team, especially when you're the team on the road, is you have your two games, your first two, you pick up your wins, use your good relievers, do your strategy. And then you get to the third one where San Diego's viewing it as, all right, this is a must win for us. And you don't have your best pitchers available. Not really criticizing Richards and Pearson, who have both been good this year. They've both largely, more often than not, gotten the job done. But you can't use your best relievers every single game. And this is sort of just what it is. It's especially frustrating when you see relievers coming in and they're walking everybody, especially when it's guys like Richards and Pearson, who both have really good strikeout stuff. And you're kind of like, you know, why are you nibbling the corners? Why are you trying to throw these little darts around the corners? And why aren't you just coming after guys and attacking? But pitching in the big leagues isn't easy. It's a lot easy. It's easy to sit there from your living room and watch on TV and be like, hey, you throw 101. Why isn't that in the strike zone? It's easier to say. The reality is that pulling off a sweep ain't always easy. And just got to sit here and give a thumbs up at a two out of three. Two out of three ain't bad.
Two out of three ain't bad. And I don't think there's really any other downs to get to from this series. Just going through, I don't think there's a hitter from that series I'm like overly disappointed in. It was nice to see again, Danny Jansen's back in the mix. He contributed in his games. Justin Turner stayed hot in that first game. Like, is Bo Bichette maybe the one guy you're looking at being like, I would like to see him heat up? George Springer, I guess, maybe in there as well. But again, when they're winning, like, I don't want to sit here and be like, come on, these guys are what, only picking up three hits in a series? Come on.
Yeah, I guess we could find some more negatives if we really wanted to. I guess maybe one negative is the fact that, you know, over this stretch against Seattle, Colorado, New York, and San Diego, all of these wins, they've won all of those series, but they haven't scored more than five runs in a game since that weird loss to New York where they lost 9-8 at Yankee Stadium. So that was like over 2 weeks ago. They scored five runs in the game. So I guess that could be something, is that the Jays are winning with okay hitting and really good pitching, which is probably what we expect them to look like. Like, if the Jays are going to go on a nice run and they're going to put together a streak where they win, you know, 10 or 12 games kind of thing, then yeah, it's going to largely be on pitching. It'd be great to see Bo and Vlad finally go on a nuclear stretch. It would be really nice to see them have like a huge series where both of them are mashing doubles and dingers, but it seems like it'll happen eventually. You're hard pressed to imagine those two are going to go the entire season without getting hot, but hey, who knows? Never know.
Yeah, all three of the Jays, and when it comes to the top of the order, have OPSs below. I mean, Vladdy leads that group at 712. So you'd like to see one of those three, if not all three of them, get hot at some point. But in the meantime, yeah, the Blue Jays are winning baseball games. We're going to step aside before we get to a couple other things, and we're going to take a quick break.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, back on episode 207 of Blue Jays Nation Radio. Just a reminder, you can watch the podcast over on our YouTube channel. Let's get to, just quickly here, the AL East report with our pal Brett Holden. Brett, tell us what's going on around the American League East.
Well, the Blue Jays got a little bit of help from certain areas, but let's start off with the young Baltimore Orioles. And guys, the kids are all right. They took 2 of 3 against the Kansas City Royals here in their last series. Adley Rutschman led the way 6 for 15 in the series with a homer and 5 RBIs. Jordan Westberg is continuing a great season for him as well. 5 for 12 on the series with a homer and 4 RBIs. He is top 10 in the MLB in OBS and slugging, and has the 12th best average in the MLB. And talking about more youngsters, Colton Cowser hit another homer this series, his 5th homer of the year, and now has a 373 average with 5 homers and 16 RBIs. Now for the Orioles, they have a couple of rehab starts for some of their pitchers, and Kyle Bradish and John Means. Kyle Bradish made a second rehab start where he allowed 4 runs on 6 hits and 3 walks. And then John Means didn't fare any better, only threw a third of an inning. He allowed 5 earned runs on 5 hits and a walk. Kind of similar to what's going on with one Alec Manoa. Come see, come saw. They have the Angels. They're heading to Los Angeles, while Anaheim, today, as they will start up their series there. Next up, let's go with the Yankees, and let's parlay it into the Rays as well, as they just had a series against each other. A 5-3 win for the Yankees in the first series, a 2-1 win, or 2-0 win, excuse me, for the Rays in the second, and 5-4 for the Yankees in that series closer. Alex Verdugo led the way offensively for the Yankees, and Juan Soto as well. Verdugo went 4 for 11 with 2 RBIs, and Soto had a homer in the first game, and all 3 RBIs for him came in that first game as well. And for the Yankees, it was really the story for starting pitching, as Nestor Cortes, Clark Schmidt, and Luis Gil only allowed one run in the series for their starters, and the only run came off of a home run. And for Luis Gil, it was his first win in 3 years after seven innings pitched with nine Ks and no earned runs, only three walks. And that, a little bit of news for the Yankees is DJ LeMahieu has a foot fracture and wants to start his rehab, but an MRI found that he was not far enough along with his recovery, so he will not start his rehab anytime soon yet. And John Sterling, a legendary voice in the Yankees sphere, he did retire. He used to be the voice of the New York Islanders as well. The Yankees have the Oakland Athletics coming up next for them. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, they head off to the Tigers. They have the Detroit Tigers coming up next for them. And finally, we'll wrap up with the Boston Red Sox, who swept the Pittsburgh Pirates, who have been one of the better teams in baseball this year. And Willier Abreu, put that name in your checkbook there. 7-for-12 in the series for the Boston Red Sox, a homer, four RBIs, three walks, two doubles, and it was an utter home run derby for the Red Sox as they had five homers in the series. Rob Refschneider, Tristan Casas, Abreu, Sedan Rafaela, and Matsuyaka Yoshida all got homers in that one. Just to wrap it up on a nice little bow, Cam Boozer, no, not the basketball player, but the pitcher who used to be a carpenter, the 31-year-old who played 10 years in independent baseball. He tore his UCL, finally made his MLB debut for the Boston Red Sox. He got into two games in this series with two innings pitched, one earned run, three hits, and two strikeouts. So a nice little story to wrap up this week's AL East report.
Perfect. Thank you, Brett. Let's move along here, Coombsy, and quickly before we set up things for the Jays' upcoming series, I want to ask you about Aurelvis Martinez. This dude is absolutely dominating AAA. He's making AAA baseball his bitch. 24-for-72. He's on this insane run right now where he's got like six home runs in his last seven games or something like that. He's red hot. Is there any way, like, it's going to get to a point where he's too good for the level and you got to consider bringing him up, but where could the Jays squeeze him in?
Yeah, that's sort of the difficulty is it's hard to justify keeping a bat like this down in AAA. He's on a 15 game hitting streak right now. I went through and looked at it, and he's only not reached base in one game this season for the Bisons, and that came in March. He's 24-for-72 with seven doubles, six dingers, and a 3.33 batting average and a 1.073 OPS. I think it was Keegan Mathison that had the point. It was, are your best 13 hitters in the organization on your active roster right now? And you'd have to think that Aurelvis, given the way he's going, is probably one of the best, the 13 best hitters they have in the lineup. But we all know the Blue Jays and their thing with defense, positional versatility. They like guys who can move around the diamond. Just think about Davis Schneider, of course. He came up last year, and now it's second base and it's left field, so it's easier to get him into the lineup. With Martinez, the glove isn't necessarily really there, so it's not like, all right, we'll just toss this guy at short or at, you know, third base or something. It's probably going to be second, but I'm not really sure who it is that goes down. Like, you're not going to send down Schneider. I don't think you can send down Ernie Clement. Maybe the spot that you could probably upgrade right now is where Dan Vogelbach is playing. He's supposed to be their lefty who comes off the bench and can hit for power, but is someone who's been sparingly used. So why not give Aurelvis Martinez an opportunity to come up and see what he can do while his bat is going this well? But then again, like, you're a prospect and you're killing it in Buffalo. Maybe the best move is just to let him chill in his spot and continue doing this and, you know, feel good and be in a groove. And he comes up late in the season. It's hard to say because, I mean, we just got finished saying the Jays haven't scored more than five runs in a game in quite a while. So maybe there is some pop from Buffalo they could add, but I'm just not sure there's a spot for him on the roster right now.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. As morbid as it maybe sounds, it might just take an injury for us to get our eyes on Aurelvis Martinez up with the Toronto Blue Jays. Let's quickly set up this upcoming series here against the Kansas City Royals, who just finished a series against the Baltimore Orioles, Coombsy, where they lost 2 of 3 to the O's. But the Royals are going to be starting tonight and starting this series with the guy who's their ace and Brady Singer, 27 years old, a 2018 first round pick, and he is a sparkling 1.54 ERA so far this season. He has looked excellent. He gets things going for the Royals, who will later send Michael Wacha, Alec Marsh, and Cole Reagans to the bump as their starters in this four-game series. The Jays going Kikuchi, Gausman, Rodriguez, and Berríos for the four games. And this is not the rollover and whatever bottom feeder Kansas City Royals that we've seen in years past. They're 13-19, and despite the fact they've lost back-to-back games now, they're a talented ball club, man. They're a team on the rise.
Yeah, they are. This is it's taken them quite a while to get here, because I mean, of course, they win the World Series in 2015. They kind of fell out of it in 2016 with a 500 record, and since then they've been rebuilding, and now they're finally in a spot where it's like, hey, maybe Kansas City could win the American League Central. But I'm also looking, I'm looking at their schedule right now. They've got the 13-9 record, which seems really good at a glance, but now I'm looking and six of those wins, so just about half, have come against the Chicago White Sox, who I don't know if you've paid any attention to the White Sox this year, but they look like one of the worst baseball teams I have ever seen. 3-18 on the season. Almost every single OPS outside of Paul DeJong randomly is their best hitter. He's got an 862 OPS, inexplicably, is by far the best on the team. So maybe Kansas City's just, you know, one of those American League Central teams that's beaten all the other American League Central teams. But also, this is the Kansas City Royals, and there's no place I dislike watching baseball more than Kansas City because, of course, 2015. So I don't want to go in and jinx this one before the series. I'm going to lean in, and I'm going to say that the Royals are a good team, and this will be a tough series, and that they're not frauds, even though deep down I believe the only team you're actually probably likely to beat is the Chicago White Sox. I think the Jays should probably take 3 out of 4 in this series, but going into Kansas City, that place sucks. It wouldn't be surprising if it was 2-2. I think I'd be comfortable with that being the result.
Yeah, I think 2-2 you wouldn't scoff at, but the Jays have been on a nice little run here, and it would be nice to see them continue their run of winning series. That is a wrap on episode 207 of Blue Jays Nation Radio. We'll be back on the or in the middle of the week to recap this series against the Royals. Chat with you then. Thanks, Goomzy.
Best wishes.
Thanks for tuning in to Blue Jays Nation Radio. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.